Let's turn our attention to the scriptures for a little while this morning, Romans chapter 5. Really appreciate the songs that have been sung this morning in congregational singing. It points pretty much right directly to the text and the passage, the scripture this morning for this message. And it also gives us the reality, as Whitaker sang, the faithfulness, the truth that is in God, in Christ. Romans chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading with verse number 6. If you would, bow your head with me as we ask God's divine help in this part of the service. Father, we're thankful for your presence this morning. We are so, so grateful for the times that you flood our heart and soul with your presence and joy, peace. There's a lot of people that are hungering for things today, and they're searching for things today to satisfy, and we're glad that we can be satisfied and are satisfied in Jesus Christ. I pray that you would help us right now as we look into your word for a few moments. Give us that special touch that is needed. Give us that special anointing. Give us strength, even in our weakness today. Bless, we pray, the hearer as well as the speaker. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Somebody penned the words to a song that you may be familiar with. Not going to read the entirety of that song this morning, but it says this very simply. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. What we find in this passage this morning is a general text that Christ died for us. You can find it in three different verses there among the verses that I read. You can see that it's not necessarily written in that exact way, but it's saying it fairly simple for us in verse number 6, verse number 8, and verse number 10, that Christ died for us. Now, what does that mean, that he died for us? Well, first of all, it means that he died for us so that we could overcome our natural inability. What does that mean? When we were yet without strength, Paul says in this passage, that God is giving to him for us. Even this morning, that we, while we were yet without strength to overcome our natural inability, powerless to save ourselves, our natural condition is that of moral inability. It's because of the cross that we are given supernatural enablement to be saved, to be changed, to be the old time word was converted, that there was a direct difference in our lives because of the cross, because of Calvary and what it does for an individual. Verse number 7 speaks about a comparison between love that is human and love that is divine. Human love is motivated by the nature of its object. I suppose this morning that we can resonate with that. We are motivated in our love by the object of our love. And when a person reciprocates love, it's easy to continue to love. But when a person shuns that love or disregards that love or even spits on that love, we have a tendency to shy away from that. But Paul is giving us here that comparison. Human love is motivated by the nature of its object. And under certain conditions, it may move us. It might move us to die for some good person. But then he compares that to what divine love is, and divine love is not called forth by the goodness of its object, but it gives itself for sinners. It just simply gives itself for the ungodly. It gives itself even to and for its enemies. In our weakness, or wickedness, excuse me, in our wickedness and in our hostility, he tells us that we are enemies of God, enemies of Christ, and yet he still loves us. When we are powerless to save ourselves, Christ died for us so that we could overcome our natural inability. When we are powerless to save ourselves, Christ died for us. The second thing we notice, and it's found in verse number 8, Christ died for us to expiate our guilt, or in other words, to make amends for our guilt. To make amends for our guilt. While we were yet sinners, that means that we were still under bondage. We were still under the condemnation of Christ, under the condemnation of God. And with that condemnation of God, we have guilt for our sins. We have guilt for our transgressions. Make amends for our guilt. Amends means to compensate for loss or injury. Reparations, guilty of so much wrong, and there was a need for some kind of reparations. There's need for some kind of amendment. Now, when somebody does you or myself wrong, we kind of like to have them come back to us and admit that wrong. And if they cost us money or they cost us loss, we want to have that amended. We want to have that amends made for that. We want to have that guilt expiated. Really, we can just stop here for a moment when we think about all of this guilt and all that is taking place with our guilt against God. It's quite easy for us sometimes, and quite often even, not just sometimes, quite often, that we forget about ourselves, and we begin to look at everybody else around us, and we find out the faults in them to compare ourselves with them, trying to make ourselves look better and even feel better because, well, I'm not quite as bad as they are, or at least nobody knows about what I've done, but look at what they've done. But we need to stop looking at all of these comparisons around us and recognize, even as the old chorister penned the words a long time ago, and it's been sung kind of loosely at times, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Christ died for us to make amends for our guilt, so that we could be forgiven and those condemnations be erased from our history and erased from the book. Christ died to overcome our natural inability and to expiate or to amend our guilt. Thirdly, we can notice in verse number 10 that Christ died to subdue our hostility toward God. Christ died to subdue our hostility toward God. Oh, I'm not hostile toward God. Well, that's exactly what Scripture tells us, that as sinners, we were enemies of God. That means that there's hostility against God. Subdue, it means to put down by authority. Subdue means to make subordinate and dependent. You see, what we're talking about here in this particular section, when we were enemies of God, it's not a two-way enemy. It's only a one-way enemy. We can find, on the other hand, that God holds before us as alien sinners, offers us a reconciliation package that we can receive or that we can reject. And that reconciliation package is taking the anger and the guilt and the sin that we would have and the hostility against him and erasing it as though it never happened. That's exactly where we find the word being justified. Justified by his grace. God holds before us as alien sinners an offer of reconciliation to reestablish a relationship or to bring us into a relationship with him. Reconciled to God, being reconciled, we are saved because he lives, it tells us. saved because he lives. You can see it there in verse number 10. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only the death of his son, as it says in the previous section there of that verse, but we shall be saved by his life. His death meets the spiritual needs of reconciliation, and his life provides for us a means of full salvation. Because it's through his life that he gives us strength to live in this day. He overcame sin. He overcame death. He overcame Satan. He overcame the hell. And he gives us, through his life, the strength to live today. William Greathouse said that the mediation by his life completes that was begun by his blood. Because he rose from the grave, because the stone was rolled away, because he lives this morning, you and I can face tomorrow. It's all about the cross. It has nothing to do with anything that we have to offer him, but it's all about the cross. He died. He died so that he could overcome, or we could then overcome our natural inability and to make amends for our guilt and to subdue our hostility toward God. He came to give us reconciliation to this great God of the universe. It brings us down to a very simple and final question for us to consider this morning. Have you received his offer of reconciliation? Have you received his offer of restoration? His offer of forgiveness. Because that's what we find in this passage, that God, while we were yet sinners, he died so that we could be saved. Christ died for you. Christ died in your place. He's given us the gift of salvation, the gift of reconciliation, the gift of forgiveness. And it's up to you and me personally to receive that gift. Let's stand together this morning. I want to take a moment before we go today. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's give respect to those that are standing around. And I want you to seriously consider the final question based upon the simplicity of the truth of God's word that we've given today. That Christ died for you. He died for me. And you can receive his gift. You can receive his reconciliation. You can receive his forgiveness. We have an altar here that is designed to take us to the throne of Christ, even to the cross of Christ. And you can pray this morning and receive that gift. Would you come? I trust that the Holy Spirit will speak and re-speak the truth of this simple message to all of us today. Thank you for your attendance. Thank you for your attention. Thank you again for all of your kindness. Trust that you have a good day. Don't forget our service tonight. And enjoy the presence of God again in the evening service as the quartet shares in song. Praise his name. Praise his name. Is every heart clear this morning? Amen. Tovey, would you dismiss us with prayer?